Welcome to the Authority of Love. I'm Greg Williams, and glad you're joining us on the Broadcaster Podcast. Thank you for being a part of this program and ministry. As I sometimes repeat at the beginning of each program, we want to help you know and love the Lord through biblical teaching, interviews, and testimonies of others who desire to do the same. As we grow and mature as Christ's disciples individually, which is what we talked about yesterday, personal discipleship, His word is very clear that we are also to be growing and maturing in our relationships with other believers in the fellowship of Christ's church. Yesterday, we talked about six key spiritual disciplines of a disciple of Christ individually and personally, and I just want to briefly mention them to you again. The first one is Bible study. The second is prayer. The third is quiet time, reflection, meditation. Remember that it begins with a manageable commitment of these 5 to 10 minutes every day. Just start there. But don't miss a day, as Christ is to be the priority of our life. Is he worth 5 or 10 minutes a day? He has to be of highest importance. The fourth one was communion. That was both the partaking of communion, as we call it in the church, or the communion of fellowship of believers, getting together with other believers, which kind of points us toward today's disciplines and principles. The fifth was the Sabbath principle, keeping that so that we understood that God is holy, we are not, our pride gets in the way, and stopping and resting helps us to recognize that. And the last one was fasting. Food, usually, but can be anything that we depend or rely upon other than the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in Christ. You can check out the entire message at wjmm.com. Click on the Authority of Love link and their schedule. Scroll down to the 11 a.m. hour to find it, or on the podcast tab near the upper right corner, click on the Love and Lordship link on that tab. As mentioned at the close of yesterday's message, we want to continue today with three more spiritual disciplines that help us grow and mature in Christ and as His church together. The seventh one, or the first one corporately, is worship. Now, this is both a personal discipline. We should be doing this daily on our own as well. And that's not just music. Remember, Romans 12:1 says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is a reasonable act of worship in view of God's mercy. So we do that personally, but we also should be doing it as a corporate discipline that we practice in fellowship with other believers in our churches. God alone is worthy of our personal and collective worship and praise. Exodus 20:3-7 states, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Deuteronomy 6:4-5 says this, we've heard it before. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, mind and strength. In Luke 4:8, Jesus himself points to the importance of worship. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then again in verse 24 of that chapter, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Maybe the best place to get a true picture is back in Romans 12:1. Where Paul implores this, as I just quoted, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable and spiritual act of worship. A disciple of Christ clearly is called to make worship a priority lifestyle that begins by giving our life that Christ has made holy and acceptable in salvation back to God for his service and purpose. And we are to do this together as the body of Christ. The eighth one, or the second one corporately, is giving and serving. Yes, we give independently and personally, but we are also called as churches to give. That's what we're called to do. We're called to give back to our communities and to others. And Paul says it this way, This is the new covenant way of giving. If we would teach people this, I think we would have a lot more givers if we help make them disciples. Remember this, in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's for each of us personally as a disciple, but also for us collectively as the church or the body, the bride, the family of Christ. As by the power of the Holy Spirit, we grow and mature personally and relationally. As Christ's disciples, we become more like Christ, and the world sees his truth and love in our individual lives and in his body, the church. If they are not seeing it in us, individually and collectively, then we need to ask whether we are walking as his disciples. And that leads to my final discipline, and this one may come as a shock, but literally this is a discipline in Christ, relationship and fellowship as his church. The early apostles in the first church in Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, most commonly used to say you ought to be at church, but what it really means is you ought to be in fellowship with one another as the church. And yes, church is part of that as we know it today, but it's much more than that. It says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Discipleship builds our faithful testimony, reminds us of the grace corporately that we worship in, spills over into reaching the lost and hurting world with his message in fulfilling the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We know that Great Commission from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Without discipline, personal and corporate, there are no disciples and no discipleship. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no spiritual discipline. I feel so strongly about this that I'm going to repeat what I've said before. These are not suggestions or recommendations. These are commands that need to be kept for all those who love the Lord and desire to walk as his disciple with him as Lord. Don't try to do what I did in the weight room and arrive, as I talked about yesterday, and arrive fully mature all at once. We just can't do that. That's why it's called discipleship and requires patience and time and effort in the strength of the Spirit. Early on, I began each day in God's Word for 15 minutes. You may be able to do the same, less or more. For most who have never practiced these disciplines or tried to do them all at once and burned out, here's a simple formula. Adjust the time to work for you. I talked about it yesterday. Do this and God will honor it. I promise you that he will. Your time with and growth in him and his word will be greatly rewarded. Remember, with personal disciplines of a disciple of Christ, begin with 5 to 10 minutes every day and don't miss one day. Isn't he, as your Savior and Lord, that important to you? Disciplines are needed for disciples and for discipleship. Now that you've gotten 6 keys of personal and 3 more of corporate discipleship, personal and corporate, the disciplines of his word and his spirit, the next step is to begin praying about and discipling or helping others do the same. Not just the practical steps, but also a deeper dive into his word to grow as his disciples. As I began to spend time with him and his word and prayer and applying these disciplines, I was compelled more and more to encourage and teach and disciple others. Early on in this process, for some reason, the number 10 kept coming to my mind. I thought about it momentarily and then just dismissed it for a while, but it persisted. And after a few weeks, I began to pray about it. As I prayed, I sensed the Lord was giving me that number for a reason, to remind me that I needed to be discipling others, but not to spread myself too thin or pridefully take on too many. Did you catch that? So as I began discipling, I kept this in mind and began to form the boundaries that helped me best pour into others. I would not disciple, and still to this day, will not deeply disciple more than one meeting and a little teaching, any one man or one couple. Only 10. 10 men or 10 couples at any one season. When Amy and I married, I continued with discipling, but it wasn't just men. I reduced the number, though, to 8, and I counted us as a couple as one, but we needed to spend that time discipling each other. And this is because we're defined as one in God's word. God rewarded this by keeping it between 4 to 8 men or couples without it ever being too burdensome on me and especially on our marriage. I did the same by reducing the number by 1 as each of our children were born and kept it there until they left for college. The principle here is that my wife and children, according to God's word, take priorities as those I'm discipling and growing with and in. As my children, as I said, left for college, I added spots back until I reached 10, and that's where I am. God has honored that. I don't know what that will look like in the end, but he's blessed it and honored it. God honored this as I have honored him in keeping my priorities in line with his word. 10 was my number. It may be more or less for you, but remember, the priorities and principles of keeping your marriage, spouse, and family first are of extreme importance. I close with another powerful quote from one of my favorites, Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest. You've heard a portion of this before, but listen to the whole quote. Paul's idea of service is the same as our Lord's. I am among you as he that serves, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. The mainspring of Paul's service is not love for men, but love for Jesus Christ. If we are devoted to the cause of humanity, we shall soon be crushed and brokenhearted, for we shall often meet with more ingratitude from men than we would from a dog. But if our motive is to love God, no ingratitude can hinder us from serving our fellow men. No matter how men may treat me, they will never treat me with the spite and hatred with which I treated Jesus Christ. When we realize that Jesus Christ has served us to the end of our meanness, our selfishness, our sin, nothing that we meet with from others can exhaust our determination to serve men for his sake. Food for thought. As we grow and mature as Christ's disciples individually, his word is very clear that we are also to be growing and maturing in our relationships with other believers. How are you growing in the disciplines of relationship and fellowship? And it is relationship. We're born selfish, remember? How are you doing that with others in Christ's church? Are you consistently practicing spiritual applications in your personal life? Are you consistently practicing spiritual applications in your relational life? What's the greatest hindrance in your life to being a disciple of Christ? What will you change in order to make him Lord and be his disciple? Here's your action item. Follow through with those questions and find a Bible-believing, God-fearing, teaching church and get connected to other Christ followers. Now, you don't want to miss Monday's Authority of Love. I'll be sharing a vision the Lord laid on my heart that drives this point of worship, discipleship, and relationship home. And it comes right from Jesus' own prophetic words. Thanks for joining us. I'm Greg Williams, and you're listening to the Authority of Love.